It's in chapter 5, Mishnah 3. Ein moitzin lachilas pyrus will shivach karkio. So this, what this is talking about over here is where a thief steals property and then he sells the property to a third party, right, to a purchaser, and the owner comes back and then now he wants his property back that was stolen, right? So the guy who bought the property from the thief, so there's three issues. There's the purchase price he paid. Then there may be some improvements that he's done to the property. He might have like built something on the property. And there also might be a crop. He might have like planted seeds. So there's the purchase price that he paid to the thief. There's improvements that he's done to the property, which is now being taken away from him. And there's fruit, you know, a crop which might have been. So it says this Mishnah that he can't, the compensation for the produce, for the crop, and the compensation for any improvements to the land, we'll see he's going to say, can't be taken from mortgage property of the thief. In other words, when he goes back to the thief, because that's who's going to be liable to pay him back for all of the stuff, right? The thief who stole this land and so sold it to him is going to have to pay him back. If the thief had other land that he's now sold on to a different, say, a fourth party, he can't go back for those two things and claim it back from the fourth party. You hear that? So the thief steals the land, sells him the land, and then the thief's got other property that he sells to another party. So when the owner of the third party comes to claim property from the thief, he can't go to the fourth party and claim that land back from the fourth party. But that's only for produce consumed and improvements to the land. He brings over here that for the actual purchase price that he paid the thief, so there he can even go back to the fourth party, you know, who bought the land from the thief, the other party who bought other land from the thief, and claim it back from him, which is quite a cap. But not for produce and not for improvements to the land. And in all the different cases, he says, v'limzon ha'isha v'habnois, and also maintenance for wife and daughters, right? Wife and daughters have a guarantee that they can collect from the property of the husband. So when he passes away, So any property which he sold during the course while he was still alive, they can't go collect from that property. That's, you know, that property's gone. And so you see, sometimes you can even go to a purchaser of the property and you can collect it from him, even though, you know what I'm saying, he bought the property, let's say, bought the property from the husband. So sometimes that property passes hands freely, like there's no encumbrances on it. And sometimes there are encumbrances on it. So you see over here in the life of a husband, if he sells property, that goes unencumbered. If he dies later and the wife, you know, wants to collect a kesubah from the estate, or the kids want to collect their maintenance from the estate, they can't go back to that property. It's a valid sale. It's passed unencumbered. But we've seen other cases it passes encumbered, like the case of the thief. If the thief sells his property and then he steals something, no, he steals it, sells it to someone. Then he sells his own property to a fourth party. That property does pass encumbered. It's not unencumbered property. And the guy can go back all the way to that purchaser. He doesn't even know. But he can go back there and he can even collect back from that purchaser. Mibnei Tikkun HaOlam. And all of this is for Tikkun HaOlam, for public welfare. So Karti says, because the exact quantity of the things listed in the Mishnah cannot be reliably estimated, and the purchaser cannot be expected to set aside a sufficient margin for indemnification. He says, V'amoitzi metzia lo yeshava mibnei Tikkun HaOlam. A person who finds a lost object, right, he doesn't have to take an oath for public welfare. What does this mean? Where he gives the lost object back to the owner. Right, I found your wallet. Give you back your wallet, you say, but where's the $100 that was in the wallet? Right? So you say, yeah, $100. So if you want to make me take an oath that, that I didn't take the $100. So in this case over here, the Chachomim said, no, I don't have to take an oath. And they indemnified me from taking the oath because I didn't want people to be worried to return lost objects. Otherwise, you know, you try to do someone good. Next thing, he's hauling you into court and making you take oaths. So the sages said, no, in this case over here, if you're returning lost objects, you don't have to take an oath, even if the person claims that you've chapter something, lost property.